Good morning, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Obsidian Achievement. This is your host, Michael Russin. Thank you for joining me, and welcome back. Happy Friday, my friends. You made it to the end of your week. I don't really have an end or beginning of my week, but I know that many of you do. And there's a lot of influencers out there that are like, the weekend, like, you waste the weekend. There's some degree of truth to that. You shouldn't be pissing away every single one of your weekends. But I do think that rest is important. I think that I find that I'm, after a period of short rest, be it a day or two, my productivity, my creativity especially, my motivation typically go through the roof. Now, when I rest, I'm not sitting on my couch, I'm not watching Netflix all day, right? What I mean by rest is disconnecting yourself from a particular task. I find that when I walk away from something for a day and come back to it, I have a higher degree of mental acuity than I did before. And I'm able to problem solve, task-specific problem solve, a lot better. And I think that taking time away from things is important. You know, I was listening to a reel that my friend Sam sent me today. It was like this dude, this woodworker, making a very intricate map of Middle Earth, like from Lord of the Rings. And over it, he was talking about AI and automation and how people are losing their minds over this taking their jobs. And he said, why are we freaking out about this? Said that something along the lines of, thank God these machines are able to take over and automate many of these mundane tasks that people spend their entire lives doing. So I guess my point is that, you know, if you're locked into the mundane every week, the weekend is an escape, right? There's a difference. This is what I'm trying to say. If you're locked into the mundane, if you don't have goals, if you're just punching a clock all day every day, the weekend is an escape. For people that are locked in throughout the week, engaged in creation, building something, working towards a goal, it doesn't necessarily have to be a weekend, but even just a day is a reset. There's a difference between an escape and a reset. See, an escape often retards progress. You go backwards. You escape. People typically use the weekend to drink alcohol, eat like shit, rot their brains with just whatever it is on TV, sports, whatever. I'm not saying you can't watch an event, things like that. You guys gotta understand, I'm not one of those guys that operates at the extremes. Like, oh dude, you watch sports, you're gonna be broke. You know what I mean? I watch every single UFC event, every single one. You know what I mean? I'm not broke. You know, you gotta be careful, these guys that operate at extremes. It's mostly for show. It's mostly for show. You know, these guys with these 2-hour long morning routines. So funny, I see these guys get on there and talk about their 2-hour long morning routines, and I'm just like, it's just so ridiculous. You know what I mean? That morning routine isn't what got them to where they are. They're able to have that morning routine and take 2 hours in the morning doing affirmations and staring at the wall and breath work and reverse, I don't know, hang upside down in your closet while chanting. I remember seeing this one where it's this guy and his wife. He's like, my wife and I, we spend 30 minutes doing calculated goal, blah, 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 blah. He's got all these ridiculous words for it. Then we join up together. We look at each other. We hold hands for another 30 minutes and we do joint. And then we do cardio. And then we're, but it's like, that's not what got you to where you're at. Now that you're rich, you have the time to do that in the morning. It's not helpful advice for most people that are on their way up. You know what I mean? So if you're out there and you're like, you see all this stuff with these morning routines where these guys are like, they're getting up, they're journaling for an hour, you know, they're praying for, this stuff is important. I'm not telling you to not do it. Journaling is important. Prayer is important. But like all this stuff where you're spending hours every morning, that's not practical for many people. So you got to be careful of these people that operate at extremes. You know what I mean? You don't need a 2-hour morning routine. Okay, most of you can't afford to do that. My routine is I don't have the patience. 2 hours? What do you mean? What are you doing in 2 hours? I can get everything that you just did in 2 hours done in 45 minutes. Easily. Easily. Affirmations, journaling, prayer, scripture, and I'm going to get more out of it. It's so much wasted time. So much wasted time. You know, they're like, get up at 3 a.m. I just don't, that's not practical for the long term. And all of these people that tell you to do these extreme things over time, they break down. I think of one guy, this Paul Saladino guy. He's the carnivore MD, right? And he goes into stores and he says, this stuff, bullshit. This stuff, bullshit. And you look at his face over the past 5 years and he's aged himself from eating just fruit and meat and spending so much time in the sun, like an extreme amount. He's aged his face. You look at videos of him 5 years ago and videos of him now, he's starting to look like a weathered handbag. There's everything is balanced. You've got to be careful. People look to extremes for an answer. Like if I do this 2 hour morning routine, if I do this particular extreme diet, this is what's going to save me, right? This is what's going to pull me out of the hole. And I do think that there's some degree of, you know, you probably cultivate a degree of discipline doing these things. I'm talking long term. I think the carnivore diet's great. I do it usually in 30-day spats. And I feel great. Inflammation disappears. Joint pain disappears. I feel wonderful. But I know for me, it's not sustainable long term. I'm a big guy. I need carbs. I'm 255. I'm training Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu 2-3 times a week, right? I'm lifting 500-600 pounds. I'm benching 400 pounds. I can't just do the whole meat and honey thing for extended periods of time. I don't want to look like Paul. I don't want to be skinny. You know what I mean? So you've got to be careful of these extremes, of these coaches, quote unquote, out there that are trying to push this. Let me tell you this. The best coaches that you could possibly hire are typically the most boring. Let me say that one more time. The best coaches that you can hire are the most boring. They're going to tell you to balance fats, carbs, proteins based in your body comp and your goals. They're going to give you a very boring workout template that you're going to have to follow for months without changing. The best way to do and make a whole lot of progress is to embrace doing things that aren't necessarily sexy and flashy. You see what I'm saying? So you have to avoid these guys out there that are pushing these ridiculous routines. I do things that the normal person would probably call ridiculous. I do cold plunges every morning. Why do I do cold plunges every morning? There's all this, you know, there's always going to be 10, you know, published scientific articles for something and always 10 against it. You guys got to understand this. For everything. You have to find what works for you. Cold plunges, regardless of the physical effects, be good or bad, right? I've noticed personally, my fat content is, I'm probably over 20%, but it's distributed well. You know, I'm 255 and I have abs. You know, I feel like it definitely keeps my fat content a little bit lower, especially considering how I eat. I feel like it's helped with my testosterone production. I don't know. I can't prove these things. The one thing I can speak for is what it does to my mind, my mentality, first thing in the day, and that's why I do it. I don't do it for any perceived physical benefits. I do it because when I get my ass in ice cold water every morning, when it's dark and 17 degrees out, and everybody else is in bed, the whole neighborhood, all the lights are off, and I go and I jump in that water, I know I could do anything that day. It sets the tone for me. First of all, it wakes me right up. I'm not groggy at all. You get out of that tub. You were groggy before. You were mentally fogged up before. You ain't anymore. Your body went into a deep parasympathetic response, right? But the rest of the day, I know I was able to do something very difficult at the beginning of the day, and now I've set myself up for success. That's why I do it. Do I think that everybody needs to jump in cold water every morning? I don't know. Maybe that doesn't. Maybe for you, it just makes you more anxious than anything. If that's the case, don't do it. Find something else difficult to do in the morning that challenges you to overcome an obstacle, right? Maybe you hate to read and you sit your ass down and you focus on doing 15 minutes of reading or 20 minutes of reading, right? And notes, taking notes on it, not just poring over a page and forgetting everything. But beware of these extremes, these people, these diets, these fads, this ridiculous. See, the problem with social media is you get a very curated, let's call it, look at somebody's life. And people don't put the bad on social media. They don't. The thing that I could be wrong, and I don't want to speak for any of you, but I think from what many of you have told me, is that I try to be as upfront with what I'm struggling with as I am upfront with what's going well for me. And I think that's why many of you listen to me. I don't give you a polished, perfect version. When I'm struggling, I tell you guys, you can go back to past episodes. I'm like, guys, listen, I've been in a funk for a week. But what am I trying to teach you? I'm showing you that I'm still up. I'm still going to the gym. I'm still reading. I'm still praying. I'm still spending time with the Lord. I'm still publishing episodes. I'm doing things that I don't necessarily want to do, regardless of how I feel, because I think that's the most important thing that you can do. That's the most important thing that you can do, is to push yourself through the days that you're just not feeling it, where you just can't seem to get in gear, right, and move forward. Those are the days that matter. So I don't want everything to be sunshine and rainbows, my presentation to you guys, because it's not. My life is very easy, but it's also very, very difficult. And it's this dichotomy. It's easy in the sense that I've built a life that has a lot of perks. But to maintain and sustain that lifestyle, I have to do a lot of difficult things. And I'm subjected to obstacles that most normal people do not have to go through. But I don't complain. I'm thankful for these things. I'm thankful for these things because, like I said the other day, the last thing I want to do is to be normal, to be average. I don't want that. I want to be special. And not for some egotistical reason, although I'm sure ego plays into it. You know, everybody wants good things for themselves. There's nothing wrong with wanting good things for yourself. But more importantly, I want to show all of you who listen and watch me that there's another way. There's a different way to do life. I saw this post of this guy the other day, and it broke my heart. You know, he said, hey, I finally got the big job. Can anybody give me advice as to how to work the night shift? How do I establish a night shift schedule? And everybody was talking about, okay, you get home and you should go right to bed. You sleep till 1 or 2 o'clock. You get a couple hours with your kids. You eat what would be your breakfast, their dinner, and then you go to work. And it broke my heart that there's people out there that have to work through the night, see their kids for 3 hours during the day, and then go back to work. I just feel like if you can motivate yourself to go work 8 to 10 hours a night, can't you motivate yourself to start a business, to solve a problem for people? It breaks my heart. I'm not at all hating on this person. I admire what this man is about to do for his family. I admire it. And maybe it's just a short season for this individual. I don't know. I didn't ask. I don't know him well enough. But it broke my heart. And I'm thinking to myself, I hope that's not the end-all be-all for you. I hope it's not the end-all be-all. I hope that there's a reason. I hope that there's a goal that we're working towards. So I'm on my way to the gym. I'm earlier today because I've got to go to New Hampshire to get blood work because Maine doesn't have any of the... I don't know how much longer I'm going to be here in Maine, to be honest with you. They've passed the transgender trafficking bill in the middle of the night. Governor Bill's, Mills, that bucktooth bimbo, looks like the dude, looks like Austin Powers. She passed another gun control measure, 3-day waiting period. Private sales now require a background check. Very frustrating stuff. I don't know how much longer. And the thing is that I'll move to a different state and I'm sure those measures will move with me. So I'm at this point in my life where it's like, do I dig in my heels and plant my flag here? Is this the place I want to plant my flag? I don't know. I think I would almost rather go somewhere like West Virginia and Appalachia and plant a flag there and really dig my heels in there, run for the governor of West Virginia or something like that, be the last bulwark against... It only takes... The world, the normal people, are clamoring for a leader, right? And what we have right now is we have Donald Trump. And the thing about Donald Trump is, love him or hate him, the guy's a leader. He can get things done. He's industrious. He's been through a bunch of adversity. He's got a very flashy, fiery personality. People like that stuff. What we need, like, a slightly more... it may be actually less refined version of him. I think we need somebody that's even a little more unhinged. I think we need somebody that's even a little bit more direct. Because DT has bent the knee in many ways. The vaccine, LGBTQ. You know, he might be the guy for now, but he's not the guy, right? The world is... Me, personally, I like Donald Trump, the businessman. He wouldn't be my first pick as president, although he's better than the alternatives. So my vote right now would be going for towards Donald Trump. Without a question. I'm just so surprised that the Dems are running Biden again. I can't imagine. You know, To vote for that man, and I'm not even angry or disgusted with him. At this point, nothing that this guy says is of his own volition. He's fed a bunch of drugs. He's being pumped full of who knows what, and wheeled out on stage to espouse some nonsense that the men with the black suitcases wrote for him. And you have to understand, our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against principalities and powers, which if you understand what that really means, it makes it vastly more terrifying. It makes it vastly more terrifying. It's not men that we're fighting against. It's literal demons in the spiritual realm. That sounds ridiculous to some people, but it's true. We do not wrestle against men. There are dark, evil forces in this world that use men as vessels. That's all. When you look at these, you know, just look no further than an abortion rally. Look no further than an abortion rally. Look no further than a trans event, a trans march. I saw a march the other day in Poland, of all places. My goodness. We lose Poland, it's over, and it looks like we've already lost it. Disfigured. Ugly. Just, you know, you look at these abortion rallies, and these women are screaming, eyes basically rolling back in their heads. You can't look at that and tell me that that's just human. these people, if not possessed, are under deep demonic influence. Deep. And I speak because at one point in my life, not too long ago, I really feel like I was under some sort of influence in a battle for my soul. I really do feel that a couple years ago, that I was not myself. And thank God for His grace and His mercy on my life. And I just, I thank God every day. I thank God every day for saving me, because He didn't have to and He shouldn't have, because I don't deserve it. But I look at the blessings of my life and I can't help but be amazed at how awesome our God is. And even if I were to lose everything like Job, I would still praise Him. I would still love Him and I would still be thankful for Him. Because, you know, this life is short and it's brief. And anything that we get that's good in this life, consider it a gift. But the gifts in this life, moths eat them up. They decay, they wash away. Spouses and children and parents die. Friends die. Material possessions rot and fall by the wayside. Everything in this earth is decaying and falling apart. It doesn't make... Now, I'm not saying that you don't make an effort to have a good life on earth and you just say, oh, screw it, I'm going to be a monk and live in the woods. What's the point anyways? That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that you have to be more concerned with your eternal destination than anything temporal, anything here. Because everything here is passing and falling away. And we spend all this time focused and worried about this life, not realizing that this is less than a blink. When you think about infinity, it's very difficult for us humans to imagine infinite, what that really means. So an 80 to 90 year lifespan in terms of eternity it's not even a flash. It doesn't even register on the spectrum. So I encourage all of you today to focus on the eternal rather than what is temporal and fleeting. And that's our episode. I love you guys. I'm going to hit this lift really quick, and then I'm going to get blood work, and then I've got a couple meetings, and then a big meeting tonight for First Line Defense. Keep saying prayers over our company as we get closer and closer to launch. I love you guys. Have a good one. Bye-bye.